Father, just thank you for another opportunity today, Father, to just take in your word today, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Father, give us the ears and the minds and the hearts to hear what's going to be said in this room today. And Father, let's just let us understand what you're trying to tell us today. And Father, I just want to give you all the praise and glory for all the things you do in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, last week we read that last verse of chapter 10, and we'll go into chapter 11 today. It says, "But to Israel he saith, all day long have I stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people." Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you realize that when Saul was disobedient to what the Lord told him to do, you know, through Samuel, and you know, he wasn't obedient, and he went down and he fought the enemies, and he ended up bringing back some of the stuff, and God told him to go down there and utterly destroy everything.
Oh, that's right.
Mm-hmm. And you know, Samuel said to him, when he came back, he said to him, he says, "What's this I hear? I hear the buying of sheep, mm-hmm, and the lowing of cattle." You know, and he said, he started blaming the people. You know, the people told me that I should do this, and the people this and that. And if you remember what Saul said to him, what Samuel said to him. Samuel said, "Saul, obedience is better than sacrifice."
Yeah.
And disobedience is worse. Basically, what Scripture says is worse than the sin of witchcraft.
Witchcraft, that's right.
You know, so. You know, what he's saying here a lot of times, because a lot of the Israelite people at that point, they were so adamant about trying to fulfill the law in the natural, you know, like scriptures where it would say, you know, take my word and bind it upon your arm or whatever. And really, you know, what he was really saying is let your works, let the things that your hands do be according to my word. Well, they didn't do that. What they'd do is they'd write his word on a leather strap or something and wrap it around their arm, and they'd do everything literally. And even if you were to see some of the Jewish people over at the Wailing Wall, some of those rabbis and stuff and teachers over there, you'll see, if you look at them real close, they got a little box hanging on their head.
Yeah.
And inside that little box is a scroll with the law. Rather than it being in their mind, it's hanging on the outside. It was always, everything was the outward appearance of everything, you know. And, you know, they were disobedient, but even when we read down through here, we'll find out that God allowed that to be that way, you know. So we'll start off in this next chapter here a little bit.
You know, in Isaiah chapter 65, uh-huh, he's talking about, you know, he's talking about him not worshiping God and going to witchcraft.
Uh-huh.
Here it says, "Who sit among the graves, trying to talk with the dead, yeah, and lodging among the secret places or caves where familiar spirits were thought to dwell, to eat swine's flesh and the broth of abominations of loathsome things is in their vessels. They who say, 'Keep to yourself, do not come near me, for I am set apart from you, at least I sanctify you.' These are smoke in my nostrils, a fire that burns all the day." This is God talking to them.
Yeah. Amen. You know, did you have something?
Yeah, if you don't care. I was going to read Proverbs 3,
uh-huh,
just the first five verses. "My son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee.
Yeah.
Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thy heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man."
Mm-hmm.
See, what you were quoting when he said that the people told me to do that and stuff like that. He was trying to be people pleaser then.
Yeah.
Right. The other thing was when Samuel told him that's what God wanted. Uh-huh. You know, we're far better off being God pleasers than we are man pleasers.
That's right. Absolutely.
I mean, he can create whatever, but I mean, hi.
Hi.
Good to see you. You doing okay? We hadn't seen you for a couple of days. You doing all right? Good. I'm glad you're doing okay. We get concerned about you. We don't see you for a while. Glad you're feeling okay. All right, we'll go ahead and get into the 11th chapter a little bit. We'll start off there, and it says, I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid, for I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Would you not that the scripture saith, Isaiah, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thy altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. You ever feel like that sometimes, that you're the only one, and you say, God, am I the only one going through this, or whatever? We all kind of hit that once in a while, you know.
I woke up in a dream about that the other day, a couple days ago, and the Lord said, remember what I told was my answer? Oh, no. I have thousands. I have many more. I mean, that's what he said. And, you know, anytime you start feeling that you're the only one,
right?
Like you're on an island by yourself. Oh, no. God wants you to know, no, there's many. There's many out there.
Yeah.
You know what? The difference between his eyes and ours.
Yeah. Well, you know, even when that took place back there, it was Elijah, and, you know, God sent him up into a cleft in the rock or
elevator,
a cave,
right?
Or whatever, you know, and a great storm come by, and a great fire come by, and all these different things come by, you know, and said God wasn't in any of them, you know, and said, and then a small, still voice. And
that was
God, you know.
Yeah.
And what was he teaching him there? Learn to hear that small, still voice inside of you. You know, that's when I'll speak to you. That's when it'll take place, you know.
I was watching a thing last night on TV. There was a really good show about the Holocaust.
Uh-huh.
And it had all these Holocaust survivors on it.
Yeah.
And there was this married couple. He's 92. She was 88. And he said he questions God.
Uh-huh.
He says that he questioned God why he had to go through with it.
Yeah.
And she looked at him and she said, you're sitting here next to me, aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
He was lying.
He was,
in,
he was there.
Yeah. Well, see, that's the thing about certain situations that happen and things that happen. You know, you wonder, well, how could that possibly happen? You know, I mean, with your natural mind.
Oh, no question.
But when you trust God, you know that God's in control. You don't get to see all the ins and outs of everything that happened, all of the even positiveness that comes out of negative situations sometimes, you know. And, you know, so many times, like I say, we tend to want to question God on everything. And that's like when we read in the earlier chapters where he said, if no one's resisted God's will, then you'll say, basically, you'll say, why have you done this? And then said, and he says, who art thou, old man?
Yeah.
Basically, that you would question God. You know, has not the potter power over one lump to make one unto vessel,
right,
and one unto dishonor, honor, and one unto dishonor? You know, and that's pretty much, you know, a lot of times we need to when we see something we don't understand. We just need to put it in God's hands and say, God, I don't understand what happened here. If you so choose to reveal it to me, wonderful. If you don't, that's okay too. I'm still going to trust you no matter what happened, you know.
I think a lot of times why we don't either understand or see God's will in it is because we don't live that scripture, be still and know that I'm God.
Right.
Because if we be still and know that he's God, we'll hear that voice.
Yeah.
That voice won't be out there. It will be right in here. And when it speaks, you'll go like, I mean, there's a lot of keys. God holds them all.
My question everything. Everything.
Yeah.
Why? Why'd you do this? Why'd you do that?
Yeah.
Why am I here? You know, just constantly I'm saying something to him. Mm-hmm. He don't listen to me, but...
He or she's
like, wait a minute, hold on, let me, hold. God always listens to you.
Yeah.
The whole thing is you don't always listen to him. Well, how many answers did you get? You say none. I seriously doubt that at all. He probably answers every one of your questions.
Yeah, but he don't deliver.
Well, let me tell you what I heard somebody say one time. God always gives you three answers, one of three answers. Yes, no, or not now, stupid. And really, when you say that, I'm not saying that you're stupid,
but I'm saying
in God's eyes, he's looking at you, and he's saying, even if I explained it to you, you wouldn't be able to comprehend it. Now, until I get you to a level where you can comprehend it and understand it, I'm not going to answer every question that you ask, see? And you know...
I don't think that's right.
Yeah.
He don't answer every one of my questions.
Well,
why wouldn't he?
When your little kids came to you, okay, when they were little bitty kids and they came to you, and you know how little kids are. It's
now,
why, and you tell them and it's why, and then they say, well, why? You know, and you tell them some more and they say, well, why? And it's just like, it's a never-ending
That's
thing
right.
with a little kid. But listen, the thing about it is that they aren't in a situation to where even when you explain it to them, they can understand it. Because first of all, they have no life experience yet. They don't really understand what's actually happening a lot of times. And we're like that when it comes to the Lord. Even if he told you, you would, you know, supposedly... I read this tract years ago, and I like it. There was this scientist, his name was Carter, and I believe he was a black scientist, I'm pretty sure he was, in the South. And he asked God one time, reveal to me, this according to this tract, reveal to me the secrets of the universe. And God answered him and said, you couldn't understand them if I revealed them to you. He said, but I will reveal to you the secret of a peanut.
Morrison Carter, and
look at all of the things that they use peanuts for.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just tons and tons of things that came out of that. That was the story, you know. Mm-hmm. And
can I say something?
Yeah.
First of all, God's God, and when He wants you to know something, He'll reveal it. But what He wants you to know is His word, that's word coming out of His mouth, never returns empty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Otherwise, He knows, everyone in here, when we're ready to receive something, which is from Him. He knows that. So when He knows that, He'll give it to us.
Yeah.
So because we're going to receive it. We're going to not reject it. We're going to receive it. But until we get to a place to where we receive, He has so much wisdom and knowledge, far knowledge, than we do, He doesn't give it to us.
Yeah. Are you talking about maturity?
I can explain it really good. 39 years ago, God took my mom home. 39 years ago next week, all right? My brother drove down there. Now, he'd only been saved about a month and a half. He drove down there less than a mile. He lived in Carthage. Drove down there, and he stood over there praying. I got her on the floor, giving her CPR. He stood there praying. 2 weeks after we buried her, I said, hey, come down and get me. We need to go for a trip. He said, okay. So we went. I said, park anywhere you want. I said, I got something from the Lord for you. He said, what's that? God wanted me to tell you, when you were in there crying and praying, that he answered yes. His answer was yes to you. He said, no, it wasn't. I said, yeah. I said, you want me to reveal your prayer to you? I said, you're over there. I didn't hear a word, but God let me know everything you said. God, I need her. Don't take her down. I need her. I need to talk to her. I need this. I need. And he said, no. I said, you never hear no when that's not the answer you want. You never hear it. It's like the kids.
Yeah.
Come on, come on. A lot of people, I've heard a lot of people say that, sit down and be quiet because they got tired of them asking the same question. They always reject. A child will always reject that which he doesn't want to hear. Sometimes, I'll be 71. I'm a child. I mean, I told Chuck, I said, you had to learn it through mom. I said, but what the Holy Spirit tells you, when you receive it as from the Lord, you'll have peace and be happy about it. Even in death, you'll have peace with it. I said, you learn it now? I learned it 3 years ago with Uncle Paul. 3 years before that, that's Kurt's dad. 42 years he's been gone. I'm saying that, and I'm going to lie to you from the pulpit because I don't see any of them being gone. I think they're still here with us. That's the truth. Woo! Yeah.
In the invisible realm.
Oh, yeah. The invisible God.
Yeah.
Well, see, even the Lord said, except you become as a little child, you can't enter the kingdom and you can't see the kingdom. You can't even see it except you become as a little child. Well, what's the difference between a little child and an adult? An adult will put limitations on people.
Right.
A little child, your little children, when they were little, they thought mommy could do anything.
Right.
Didn't they? They thought daddy could do anything. My daddy could beat up anybody on the block. I mean, that's the way most kids are. My daddy's the strongest. He's the best. You know, and as they get older, that faith in mommy and daddy begins to wane some. Because they begin to realize, well, maybe mommy can't do everything. Maybe daddy can't. In the natural, I'm saying.
Yes.
But let me tell you what. With the Lord, that never wanes.
That's right.
He can do all things, and according to his riches and glory, he'll give us all things according to his riches and glory. And it would be like, for instance, with you right now. You're an adult. If you was to say to a engineer from General Motors, How does a car work? And he set you down and started telling you all the intricacies and all of the little things that are in a car that makes it work and stuff. He would blow your mind. You would think, I can't conceive of that. I don't know what that means. And that's the way it is with God sometimes. He'll give you what you need to get when you need to get it.
That's right.
And if we're asking for things beyond what we need to get, he doesn't give it to us because we wouldn't know what to do with it if we got it. You know what I mean? And it's sort of like the best thing that you can possibly do is like the song, the old song we used to sing for years and years. Little faith believes God can. Greater faith believes God will. Perfect faith believes it has been done and praises God for victory.
Amen.
Now, what's the difference in little faith? Little faith, well, when you say, I believe he can, but I don't know if he will, you know, greater faith believes God will, because you ask according to his, you ask anything according to his will, what's he say? It'll be done.
Yeah.
It has to be according to his will, not according to your will. See, that's the difference. And perfect faith is when you just trust him and praise God for the victory no matter what's happening around you. That's perfect faith. Now, we don't always function in perfect faith. A lot of times we find ourselves in little faith, you know, where we believe he can, but we're not really sure if he's going to do it. But that's because we're asking something that we don't know if it's according to his will or not.
Right, that's right.
See? Anything according, it's his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. But he will only give you the knowledge of the kingdom that you can handle at the time that he gives it to you. And it will be by faith. If you do everything that God was going to do before it happened, that wouldn't take any faith. Would that take any faith? You know, what is faith is believing in the truth or the truthfulness of God. Now, and you know, faith is believing in something when you don't necessarily see it with your eyes. You don't see God in this room, do you? But by faith, you believe that His presence is here.
Yeah.
Because the Scripture says, and I'm just using Scripture as an example. Scripture says, where two or more are gathered in my name, there I'm in the midst. Well, He's inside of you anyway. But when more people gather together, a lot of times you can feel His presence, and it begins to be magnified, you know. And it's one of those situations to where that's why we have to become like a little child, in the sense that we're just going to trust Him. You know, when your kids were little, unless you mistreated them or anything, they didn't worry about supper, or they didn't worry about lunch. They didn't worry about breakfast, because they knew Mom was going to fix it for them, or Mom was going to get it for them. They didn't worry about whether they were going to have clothes or shoes, unless you didn't take care of them. Then they worried about that. But you know, it's one of them situations to where, that's why it's, except you become as a little child. Children don't worry about that kind of stuff. Children, if you get two little kids out in the street and they're little, and they get in a fuss and one of them hits the other one or does something else, you know, then they'll go off for a little while, and then the parents will get involved and get out there and start fussing.
Like an idiot.
I can't believe your kid hit my kid, and I can't believe it, and all this kind of stuff. 10 minutes later, those kids are playing together again. Because that's a child, faith like a little child. They forget about that stuff. Oh, that was just something that happened yesterday. That don't mean nothing.
That's right.
You know, and that's where we have to be like that. We have to ask the Lord to help us keep that childlike faith. And years ago, one time, Brother Eddie was preaching, and Brother Eddie was an excellent preacher. I love Brother Eddie. Anybody that's been around him and heard him preach, he was an excellent preacher. And I learned a long time ago, I could not be Brother Eddie. I had to just be Oscar, and I don't try to be Brother Eddie. But Brother Eddie had a healing ministry at one time, years ago.
That's right.
Where people would get healed, you know. Sometimes people, he had a radio program, and sometimes when people were listening to him on the radio, they would get healed, you know. And God gave him that anointing for a while.
Right.
He lifted it after a while. It wasn't as strong as it was at one point. But, you know, I heard Brother Eddie say one time, we were sitting there, and he said, and I wasn't an elder at that point. I was just one of the parishioners, you know. And I heard him say, you know, he said, I've had times when I've pulled somebody up out of a wheelchair and then had to put them back in.
Right.
And he says, you know, I long for the day when that doesn't happen, and so on and so forth. And the Lord spoke to me, and I spoke up and said this, and I don't know if Brother liked it or not. I said, well, Brother Eddie, I said, you know what the difference is? I said, you were using childlike faith, but not manlike wisdom. I said, God didn't tell you to pull that person up out of the wheelchair. You pulled them up out of there. That's why you had to put them back.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there, you know, childlike faith, manlike wisdom. We're coming into a day where we're going to have to operate in childlike faith, but we're going to have to do it with manlike wisdom. In other words, mature wisdom, to where we only do that
right.
which we see the Father do. We only do that, we only speak what He tells us to speak and stuff. When we start doing that, you know, in the people's lives, I'm going to tell you what, things will turn around real quick. But you know, that's why there, even that scripture says, lay hands on no man suddenly. And, you know, we will pray for people a lot of times. But my real prayer when I'm praying, if you come up and say, Oscar, will you pray for me? My real prayer is, God, let your will be done in this situation.
Yeah,
whatever this,
pray.
Whatever
right.
that will is right now. And does, you know, does that mean that He didn't love you if He didn't heal you? No. But that just means it wasn't time. It wasn't the right time for that situation.
Remember that doctor that came into down at Elmwood, and he shared about this little...
Oh, you're talking about Chuck Warren, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he shared how he had prayed for this woman and her child.
Uh-huh.
And as he prayed for, he had one leg shorter than the other.
Right.
And as he prayed, God lengthened his leg right there, and right. they were not believers. But God did that. You know, they didn't profess to believe. So this one little woman that loved the Lord, she was Catholic, but she loved God and served him. Uh-huh. He went in and prayed for her, and nothing happened,
yeah.
you know. And so he let her sit there in the examining room. And he went on, saw other patients, and then he came back and he prayed. He had eventually let her leave, mm-hmm. and had not, God had not touched and what he had prayed for.
Right.
So afterwards, he's questioning God. He said, why did you bless the, you know, the woman with her child? And this little lady loves you with all her heart, has served you all those years, and you did not answer the prayer. And he said, God said, I didn't tell you to pray for her.
Right.
And so that's
right.
See, he felt the anointing of God. God had laid no hands on him, and he prayed for the little boy.
Yeah.
And so that's many times how we do when we ask God for things,
yeah.
and it's not according to his will.
See, I love the story that Clarice Fluitt told one time when she said that she was a woman, and this was back, you know, back in the 70s is when God really started getting a hold of her, back around 1970. Mm-hmm. And that's about the time when I got saved, about that same time.
Mm-hmm.
But she said that she was invited to come to this symposium or something where they were going to ordain ministers, you know. And she had always been told that a woman couldn't minister to a man, you know, and that a woman mm-hmm. woman was not supposed to
right.
get up and minister to men and all this kind of stuff. And there is some scripture that if you was to take that scripture out of the context of the Holy Spirit,
it says that.
It would say that.
Yeah,
see?
Yeah, that's right.
But anyway, so she says she gets invited to this thing, see? And she had gotten the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but she said she had been invited to this thing. And she said she got there, and it was all men. And she said, I thought, I'm out of place. I'm not where I should be. Or, you know, that's the kind of thought she had, you know, that kind of thing. I've got this tape somewhere. I could let you listen to them sometime.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, and it's actually funny to listen to her, because she's very funny when she talks. But anyway, she said that, you know, this one big, real big, heavy brother got up to speak, and he told her, no, you're fine. I'm going to have you get up and speak too. You know, and he was reassuring her and all
right.
this stuff. And she said he got up there and started speaking, and he died. He fell over and died.
Yeah, true story.
He died. And she said, a lot of these ministers sitting on the platform were very well-known ministers. And she said, you know, if I tell you their names, you would know who it was. She said there were all these well-known ministers, and she said but they were going to ordain all these young ministers
right.
that were coming up. And she said, here are the guys that land on the floor. He died. And she said, they all gather around him, and they look at him, and they, you know, pronounce him dead, basically, is what
right.
they do. And she said, the paramedics come in, and they pronounce him dead. And she said, and the Lord spoke to me and said, go over there and raise him up. And she said, I thought, Lord, I can't do that. She said, I said, go over there and raise him up and act like you've done it before. And she said, I went over and I rebuked the spirit of death on him. And she said, and he coughed and got up off the floor, and he was all right. God rose him up. But see, the difference is, God told her to do that.
Yeah.
All of those other ministers standing around, here's what she said happened after that. And we don't understand how God works a lot of times in situations. She said, I never got so many invitations
right.
to come to people's church than you ever seen in your life. And she said, and God would not let me take a one of them.
Because
they were looking at what you used me to do.
Like the fishes and the loaves.
The fishes and the loaves. That's when that's exactly
right.
What it was.
That's right.
And she said he wouldn't let me take a one of them. And some of the stories that she told, I mean, were terrific stories.
She's the one that God put the finger back on the little child.
Yeah.
Finger.
It's not that I don't believe God can't do it.
Yeah.
But why don't he do it? You know, the world is in a bad shape right now. We really need them to come in and at least help. But to me, he doesn't seem like he's doing anything. He's just letting it ride out. We're going to hell in a basket the way the world's going now. So I said, because I watch television.
He's got a plan.
And that's my life, television. And I said, why don't God, you know, scare people a little bit?
Yeah.
Do something that, you know, will wake them up. Why does he have to wait until the last second and then do what he's supposed to do?
Well, the thing about it is this. We sing that song, he's an on-time God, you know.
Amen.
On-time God. May not come when you want him, but he'll be there right on time. Now, you know, the things that are written in the scripture were given for our edification, for our encouragement,
right,
and everything else. Now, just think about some of the things that happened in life, okay? If you go back and you look back at Egypt, you know, the children of Israel were down in Egypt. They were down there for a bunch of years. They were mistreated. They were slaves. They turned out to be slaves. They were treated horribly. So what does God do? He has a woman that has a baby. She's a Jewish woman. The decree comes that they're going to kill all these babies. And so what does she do? She takes that baby and puts him in a little ark, and pushes him out into the river. Now, if a woman did that today, and you heard about it, you'd want her thrown into jail. But she was trying to save that baby's life. That's what she was doing.
Yeah.
And whether she knew it or not, she was doing that by faith. And when she did that, one of Pharaoh's daughters, who was childless, saw that little baby and said, oh, and they believed that the Nile was a god.
Right, that's
the,
right.
The river Nile was a god to them, see, because it brought the harvest, and it would flood, and the field, and the food would grow, and all this kind of stuff. Well, they took that baby out of the water. And she raised that baby as her own because she figured the Nile God had given her that baby. Well, it was Moses.
Yeah.
And Moses. His sister, tell my sister.
Please?
About his sister.
Yeah. The sister had ran along and watched where he was, you know. And she went back and told her mother. I think maybe the mother might have been the one that came and.
She said that she told woman, the princess, that she knew someone that could nurse this child because the child needed to be, you know, they didn't do bahalas back then, nursed.
Right.
And she said, all right. Yeah. So she got to his, Moses' mother, got to care for him and to nurse him and take care of him.
That's right.
For this princess, you know.
Well, and then what happened? He rose up and he was very high in the Egyptian hierarchy, you know. And, you know, so what happens is that one day he sees the slaves being mistreated really bad, and I don't know if his mother, we don't know what his mother did while she nursed him and how long she stayed with him or whatever. She might have stayed as his servant for a lot of years, or who knows? It doesn't really tell you that in the Bible.
But he identified with the slave, even though he was where he was in
hierarchy. Yeah, he saw them mistreated, and he rose up and he killed one of the Egyptians who was mistreating them. Well, I guess over there you couldn't really kill anybody unless Pharaoh or somebody told you you could, you know what I mean? And, or I don't know exactly how that worked. But anyway, so then he had to flee from Egypt, and he did. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, God, he gets out in the desert, and what's God do? He appears to him in the form of a burning bush, which wasn't being consumed, and he begins to talk to him, and he's telling him what he's gonna go back and, you know, set his people free and all this and that. And Moses had went from a high place to a low place, to a, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? You know, in other words, I'm nothing, you know, I'm nobody, you know. And that's where we have to come, is where it's not about us, it's about what God is in us and to us. And that's what happened with him. So then when he goes back, what happens? God has to let all these different plagues come upon Egypt to convince Pharaoh that he should let them go. And Pharaoh, and then it says in the scriptures, and God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Pharaoh hardened Pharaoh's heart. Right. God did.
He let him give in.
Yeah, where he didn't give in until the firstborn were all killed, you know.
Right.
Well, then he let them go. But then also, he let Pharaoh change his mind. And where's Egypt at? They're trapped at the Red Sea, I guess it is. Mm-hmm. They're trapped at this Red Sea. And you know, you got the sea here, and you got all these people here. Where are you going to go? You ever feel like you're in a situation where you say, I don't know where to go. I don't know what I can do here, you know. That's when you need to trust God the most. That's when you need to say, Lord, I'm going to trust you in the middle of that. And what's he do? He parts the water, and they come over into the wilderness. It's been 40 years over in the wilderness, and it took him 40 years to get Egypt out of the Israelites, is what it amounted out to, 40 years. And all of that generation, except for two of them, except for Caleb and Joshua, died off. The whole generation died off. That he brought out of Egypt before he took them into the promised land. And he did not let Moses go into the promised land. Why didn't he let Moses go into the promised land?
But he died, or he killed somebody.
No. He didn't let him go in because there was a situation to where the Israelites were grumbling and mumbling and complaining about being out in the wilderness and not having water and not having food. God told him to speak to the rock. Yeah. And the rock would bring forth water. And when he was talking to them about, you know, them being disobedient and this and that, he didn't speak to the rock.
He hit it.
He took his staff and he smote the rock.
Yeah. Right.
He hit it. And he didn't hit it only once, he hit it twice. Up in the New Testament, it tells you that that rock that followed them about in the wilderness was Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So what was it? What was it a type of? Of crucifying him twice.
Yeah.
And all he was supposed to do was speak to it. And because he did that, and God told him, because you were disobedient and didn't do what I told you, I'll let you go up into, I went up into Mount Nebo, I think it was, mm-hmm. and I'll let you see the promised land. But you won't go into it. Well, there again, you think, oh my goodness, poor old Moses. You know, he walked with God and he did all this stuff. And you think, did God totally cast him away? And was he lost forever? And so on and so forth. Well, when Jesus went up on the Mount of Transfiguration and was transfigured, he took Peter and John and a couple of them up there. And when he went up on the Mount of Transfiguration, who appeared to him? Who appeared to Jesus? Elijah and Moses. So he was in the spirit, he was with the Lord, you know. And you know, that just goes to show you, and what was he teaching Peter and them that saw this? He was teaching them, look, you've had confidence in Moses, and you have confidence in the prophets, Elijah, the prophet, you know, he was a type of the prophets. He said those are the people that you really had all your confidence in, the law and the prophets, basically. And what's Peter want to do? Well, Lord, let's build three tabernacles for you. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And then a voice spoke to him and said, this is my beloved son, and him I'm well pleased, or whatever. Hear ye him, or whatever it was. And I don't remember the exact quote, but when he did that, they fell down because Jesus was transfigured before them. The light, the inner light of him broke forth to the outside. And they saw the glory of God in him, and they fell down fearful.
Right.
And when they looked up after they heard that voice, it says, and they saw no man except Jesus only.
Right.
And that's the only person that you can look to is Jesus Christ. And that's where a lot of people are looking to all these other situations, and they're looking to the Pope, and they're looking to the mullah, and don't look to the pastor for all the answers, because he don't have them all. And I'll tell you that. Keep your eyes planted on Jesus. And I always tell people that. Don't get your eyes on me, because God will let me fail you miserably if you do. But keep your focus upon the Lord. Now, he'll use people, and that's wonderful when he uses me or one of the other brothers or any of the sisters to minister to you. That's a wonderful thing when he does that for us and for you. But don't get us, you know, on a pedestal, because God can knock us right off that pedestal real easy, you know. But anyway, that just goes to show you of the bad situations that happen. Now, Moses, when he got to the Red Sea, if he didn't have faith in God, he could have said, well, God, I did everything you told me to do. And here you got me trapped at the Red Sea, and here's this army, and they're going to kill us all. They're going to destroy us all. And what, you know, I'm just going to give up, you know. But he didn't do that. He looked to the Lord, and the Lord took part of the Red Sea. Told him, lift up your staff, and you know, and he parted the Red Sea. So.
But they stood there, the priests stood there.
Yeah.
Right as they entered, and they were the last, and they stayed.
Well, that was when they crossed over the Jordan.
Jordan.
And the Jordan. When they entered into the Promised Land. And that's, see, that's the thing. A lot of people, I used to pray years ago about being a son of God. You know, when God opened that revelation to me very young, when I was very young Christian.
Yeah.
I mean, before I even come to church, he opened that up to me, you know. And anyway, my prayer used to be, oh God, make me a son of God, you know, and all this and that. Well, years down the road, he began to deal with me about, you know, that he wanted me to have a servant's heart, you know. And the priest, when they got ready to go over to the Promised Land, they were camped at this place, and the priests were to step down into the brink of the water. In other words, they were to step down into the water and stand there and let everybody else go in front of them.
Yeah.
Now, you talk to a lot of ministers out there, and they don't want nobody going in front of them.
Oh, yeah.
They're the top guy. They want to be the top guy. They want to be the first one to get in there. See, well, that's not necessarily the way it is. And you have to be willing, if you're going to really go on to know the Lord in a deeper way, you have to be willing to step down there. And he said, I felt like the Lord spoke to me and said, son, I'm going to give you a servant's heart. I want you to help the body of Christ grow up. That's what I felt like he was telling me. And that's what I've tried to do, in the sense of trying to help ministries come forth and not getting on people if they decide to leave, or talking bad about them if they decide to leave or whatever, you know, and you know, still loving them and hoping that they fulfill all of God's promises for their lives. And
Wherever
he has them, that's absolutely right. And you know, when my time is done and whatever God's doing with me, that's fine. I just want to have fulfilled what he called me to do,
yes,
you know.
Jesus.
And it's
and
to
you
be
do
a
it well.
It's to be a servant. No, well, hopefully do. He'll tell me that someday.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
The Spirit of God will tell me that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Let me put this way. I've watched all the talking heads that I want to talk see anymore, because all you're going to get on TV anymore is bad news. And I am so sick of watching it. I told Kathy, turn it off. I can't do this anymore. And it's the same thing. Well, I even made the comment to her yesterday. You watch somebody on this news show, and then his show's over, and the next guy comes on, and what does he tell you? The same story.
Well, that's because it's true. When you tell the same story,
that's not necessarily
so. Wait a minute,
so.
Did you say that's because it's true?
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
no.
Because they want you to believe it's
that's
true.
That's what because
oh.
They want
yeah.
You to believe it's
well,
true. But what I'm trying to say is the one thing that I have found and I believe truly, you know, you keep saying is why is God allowing all this stuff to, I believe God's moving so much underneath all the situations in this world right now that when the time comes and it breaks forth, you're going to see a whole different situation.
See, that's what I want to see.
And I do too. And I believe in this country you're going to see a renewal of the Christian values that this country was founded on. And I believe that they're going to, when it comes out, this country is going to be transformed into something you've never in a million years guessed it would
yeah,
be.
Yeah, I want that to happen now.
I know.
Well, I'll tell you this, you know, at your age and everything, you should be like, what was her name that was there for Jesus when he was brought into the temple? I can't remember her name. But anyway, there was this older woman who stayed in the temple and prayed every day, Lord, let me see the Messiah. Let me mm-hmm. see the Messiah. He's coming. She prayed that every day. Well, when they brought Jesus in to be dedicated on the eighth day, they used to circumcise kids on the eighth day, and I'd dedicate them or whatever. Mm-hmm. When they brought him in, she said, Lord, you can take me now, for my eyes have beheld, you know, your salvation, basically, is what she said. That's not exactly the right words, but that's what Jessica was saying. And there was an old guy that had been in there too. Old prophet, and he was the same way. And he knew what Jesus was when he came in there. And the thing about it is what you need to learn to do is just relax, chill out, trust the Lord. he'll meet you every time you need to be met. He'll give you what you need to have. Everything will happen the way it's supposed to happen. Now, that doesn't mean that there won't be some times when he might tell you to do something and then you need to be obedient and do what he tells you, you know, and you'll be fine. It'll all come out in the wash.
Take a chill pill, you'll be fine.
It'll all come out in the wash, you know.
That's what Jim keeps telling me. Mom, he always relates today with the Bible then, you know. And I says, Jim, everything that happened now happened then.
Yeah.
But, you know, God revealed, God revealed himself in the Bible all the time. I would love to see the people's face when God really shows who he is. Because they don't believe anymore. You know,
it's the same thing. There's a lot that do. Just where did you start the scripture? And we think, oh, we're the only ones, and we're... And there's how
well
thousands.
We didn't get down. It's actually in this verse right here where we're at.
Yeah.
It says, Lord, they have killed your prophets and decked down your altars, and I am alone left.
Right.
And they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God to him, unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. So, you know, 7,007 is a number, it's the perfect number for God.
Right.
And you know, 1,000 is a very powerful number too. It talks about completion and, you know, completion and everything. So, you know, no matter where we're at and how we feel at the moment, like we're the only ones going through this. No, you're not. Mm-hmm. Other people are going through it too. Just trust the Lord and let him take you through it. And on the other side of it, you'll look back. It's like the instance, I'm going to close them in here. It's like the instance of when, you know, I said to you a couple of times about being baptized, you know. And, you know, I tried to encourage you to do it because I knew it would help you. I knew it would. And I believe it does. I mean, I can see a lot of tenderness and softness in you. And I get thrilled when I see that in you because God's really doing the work inside of you. But sometimes people have to encourage you to do something, you know. Well, I wasn't trying to nag you because whether or not you got baptized, that was your decision. But I knew it would be something that would help you, and I felt like it was the Lord having me encourage you, keep encouraging you to do that, because I knew it would make a difference, you know, and it has made a difference in you. But anyway, you're not going to get all the answers that you ask for, the ones that you want,
yeah.
I'll put it like that, the ones that you want every time that you ask, but you'll get some answer.
Wouldn't it thrill your heart right now? If God said, well, I'm going to go down and straighten things out.
Well, he is going to straighten things out.
It would thrill my heart. That was all I would need.
Read Romans the 8th chapter and read it carefully. Romans the 8th chapter. All creation is groaning and travailing, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. That's not one son, that's the sons of God. That's for his body to begin to grow up and come into full sonship to where the authority, the power, the anointing is there. Because it says, it basically goes on and says, because all creation shall be set free into the glorious liberty of being the children of God. So that's why part of, I feel like the ministry the Lord's given me is to try to help the body of Christ grow up. Until we grow up to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, and there's going to be some that will do that first. They'll be a first fruits people. And when they do that, they're going to begin to set creation free. First of all, first thing creation needs to understand is God's not mad at them. Second thing they need to understand is that he loves them and he died for all men. And God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not in putting their trespasses. Now, if he doesn't then put their trespasses, then who needs to quit in putting their trespasses?
Us.
We do. We need to quit telling them that they're these terrible sinners. We need to quit. What we need to do when we see somebody that's in a bad situation, instead of hammering on their bad situation, we need to pray for them and ask God to touch their lives, to change them, and love them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, but yeah.
Well, I can just see the faces of the people that don't believe.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, there he is.
Yeah.
Oh, God. What?
Well,
I would be so excited. You know.
He says, I was found of them that didn't hunt for me, basically. Mm-hmm. I'm putting it in my own words here. Mm-hmm. And he's gonna be found of people out there who aren't even looking for the Lord. But he's looking for them.
Mm-hmm. We were.
Yeah, we were. I was too. I mean, I wasn't, you know, when I had encounters with God, well, I will say the one time, you know, but I knew God had his hand on my life before I ever had an encounter with him because, you know, he had already healed me of that epilepsy and all that kind of stuff. But most of the time, most people that he gets a hold of, look, Paul, he was out persecuting the church, killing the Christians, standing around while they stoned them to death, holding their clothes for them while they stoned these people to death and stuff. And what happens? God meets him going down the road. And buddy, He'll meet you going down the road when it's the right time.
Yes, he will.
We just don't understand God's timing, when it is and stuff. Well, we want it to be ahead of when he wants it to be, when he's ready for it to be.
No, it shouldn't be that way. It should be when...
When you want it to happen, I know. It ain't going to happen, sweetie. It ain't going to happen.
But it would be... Oh, the whole world would change in an instant. Can you imagine looking up and there he is?
Yeah. Well,
and all his glory and angels and whatever,
yeah.
You know. Oh,
there he is.
Yeah.
Right beside you.
God's going to bring man back to where he was in the beginning.
Amen.
Before creation on this earth.
Only, yes.
Bring everybody back.
Only not innocent, mature.
Huh?
Not innocent, but mature.
Yeah.
Kathy, how about you closing in prayer for us?
Father, thank you for this day. Thank you that you got my lazy self out of bed. Thank you, Father, that you said unto me, get up, get out to a place where I will show you.
Oh, hallelujah.
And Father.
Amen. Yes.
What a glorious day you've given us. There's sunshine out there.
Yes.
And we've got a really cool football game to watch. All kinds of great things coming.
Yes.
But we'd rather have you come, like she said.
Yeah.
Oh.
Father, even so, even so, even so, we love you with all of our hearts.
Jesus.
You are a reason. Every breath we take
is
a song to you, Lord, of our devotion and of our adoration. Father, bless the service as we go in. Bless our lives as we go forth and help us, Lord, to be a blessing to other people.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord.